from KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. On center stage this week, the International Pacific Halibut Commission. We'll have a look at stocks, landings, and prices. Warmer ocean temperatures are affecting pollock babies. We'll look at spawning and how a week can have a big impact on survival. And fishing jobs are rebounding across Alaska. All that and more coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
This week's focus was on Pacific halibut. The International Pacific Halibut Commission, the IPHC, oversees management of halibut along the coast from Alaska to California. The commission held its interim meeting Tuesday and Wednesday of this week in Seattle. Industry stakeholders got updates on the status of stocks and potential catches for 2019. We have two reports. First, from Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch, who has details on catches for 2018.
One thing is already clear. Halibut abundance continues to decline overall. That's likely to result in lower catches, said IPHC Executive Director David Wilson. A summary of the 2018 data show that landings of Pacific halibut from California to the Bering Sea were about 23.5 million pounds, 97% of the total catch limit and a low for the last decade. For Alaska, the catch total was nearly 16.7 million pounds, 5% shy of the fishery limit. Total halibut removals by all users and regions and including bycatch added up to 38.7 million pounds. The commercial fisheries took 61% of the halibut catch, recreational users took 19%, and 3% went for subsistence. Halibut bycatch in other fisheries took 16% of the total catch limit. For halibut taken as bycatch, the central and western Gulf of Alaska totaled 2.1 million pounds, nearly all by trawlers. In the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands, bycatch is projected at nearly 3.5 million pounds, nearly all from the trawl flatfish fishery and Seattle boats. The average halibut price this year at the docks was $5.74 a pound, down 79 cents from last year.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch. Now we turn to a more detailed look at halibut stock assessments. This information was provided by Joe Vicnicki at KFSK in Petersburg. IPHC scientists do annual survey fishing to come up with a stock assessment, along with information from commercial catches and other fisheries along the coast. Ian Stewart is a quantitative scientist with the commission.
We estimate that the stock went down until somewhere around 2010 from historical highs in the late 1990s. It increased slightly over the subsequent five-year period. And around 2015 or 2016, the stock leveled out and has been decreasing in spawning biomass slowly since that time period.
Spawning biomass is the estimated total weight of fish that are old enough to reproduce. The commission's annual survey showed the numbers of halibut coastwide dropped by 6% from the year before. The estimated weight of fish legal to catch in the commercial fishery dropped by 19% from the year before in southeast areas 2C and 3% in 3A, the Central Gulf. The commission has been expanding its survey up and down the coast. New survey points were added in southeast Alaska and British Columbia in 2018. Stewart told commissioners that there's a high probability that halibut stocks will continue to drop at the current level of fishing because of less productive years for the fish between 2006 and 2010.
That fishery is becoming increasingly focused on those low years between 2006 and 2010. And given the data that we have in hand right now, I think we can be pretty certain that those year classes between 2006 and 2010 are probably quite low. And those are going to have a strong effect on the projections over the next several years, both for what's available in terms of fishery yield, as well as what's going to be likely the trend in the spawning biomass over the next several years.
Total mortality of halibut in 2018 was estimated at nearly 39 million pounds. That includes fish killed in commercial, subsistence, and sport fisheries, along with bycatch and other fisheries. That number is down from the nearly 42 million pounds caught in 2017. And, as Lainey Welch reported earlier, the commercial catch in 2018 coast-wide was around 23.5 million pounds. That was the lowest catch in the past decade. IPHC scientists don't present recommendations for catch limits, but give the commission a table that shows probabilities of future stock declines based on various levels of fishing. The commission is made up of 6 members, 3 each from the United States and Canada. Decisions on the coast-wide catch limit and limits for different regulatory areas will be during the IPHC's annual meeting at the end of January, which will be in Victoria, British Columbia.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
From halibut, we now turn to pollock, more specifically, baby pollock. Over the past 3 decades, pollock spawning times in the Gulf of Alaska have varied as much as 3 weeks. That's potentially deadly for baby fish that are spawned into an environment that's not ideal. Now, new research confirms what scientists have long suspected. Warmer ocean temperatures are playing a role. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
Pollock has been a big part of Lauren Rogers' career. She works as a research fish biologist at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration offices in Seattle. And you could say she takes her work home with her and straight to the dinner table.
I'll go with my most common way, which has got to be fish sticks. I've got 2 little boys and, you know, eating fish, that would be their preferred method.
Chances are those fish sticks could have originated from pollock caught in Alaska. It's the nation's biggest fishery. The fish are caught in the Bering Sea and the Gulf of Alaska. In the Gulf, pollock typically spawn in the spring.
So if it's warmer, pollock generally spawn a little bit earlier. If it's colder, they're going to hold off and spawn later.
But exactly when could be a crucial detail that determines the chance of survival for baby pollock. According to NOAA meteorologist, waters in the Gulf of Alaska have been warmer than normal. Rogers says that warm water, in addition to some other factors, could signal to the pollock, hey, it's time to spawn. Still, that doesn't necessarily mean the food sources will be there. It could be too early. For pollock, this could play out in 2 ways.
Well, maybe you'll get really lucky and the spring bloom will also be 3 weeks early. And then your babies are going to hit it right on time. They're going to have lots of food. They're going to grow fast.
They're going to move out of the house, get their own apartment, and go on to be productive members of the aquatic society. Or rather, take on the form of those fish sticks mentioned before. That is, if the pollock spawn their babies around the right time, when there's food sources available.
However, maybe you get it wrong. Maybe actually it's warm now, but it cools off all of a sudden and production is a little bit delayed and there's no food available and your babies all die.
Right now, the catch rate for pollock in the Gulf of Alaska has been consistent. But scientists like Rogers are trying to understand how much variability exists in the spawn time due to warming. To get an idea, Rogers used more than 30 years of information consisting of samples from larval pollock.
By looking at the ear bones of the larval pollock, you can actually see little daily growth rings on there, and you can figure out exactly how old they are. These are very small.
With some back calculating, she was able to figure out how spawning for pollock changed over time. A variation of as much as 3 weeks. But the big question remains, could this mean a future with less fish?
Well, I think it's not necessarily a doom and gloom story, but I don't know that it's going to be a, hey, everything's going to be great either.
Roger says as the environment continues to warm with less and less cold years, spawn time may actually become a little more stable from year to year. But that's only one piece in the complex puzzle that is the ocean. Scientists are trying to get a handle on how this new normal is going to affect everything else. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. MC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
And finally, there was a big rebound for fishing jobs across most of Alaska during 2017. After a steep drop in 2016, seafood harvesting jobs grew by 8.3% last year, the most in percentage terms among all the Alaska industries. Fishing jobs hit a record in 2017 at 8,509 monthly jobs on average and jumping to nearly 25,000 jobs in July. According to the State Department of Labor's November economic trends, salmon fishing jobs grew overall but varied considerably by region. The crab fisheries had the only employment loss. Let's look at this region by region. Harvesting jobs in the Aleutians jumped by 20%, mostly through the gains in groundfish catches. Bristol Bay's fishing jobs also grew overall by 6.2%. The South Central region continued its trend of harvesting job gains, adding 116 jobs for 7% growth. Kodiak was one of the few areas to lose fishing jobs. While halibut and salmon harvesting jobs increased, losses in groundfish pushed down Kodiak's harvesting employment by 81 jobs each month on average. The Yukon Delta also lost fishing jobs in groundfish and salmon for an overall decline of 12.7%. Here's another detail that comes from the November Trends report. It shows that among all Alaska industries, seafood processing tops the list for injuries. A rate of 8.8 injuries or illnesses per 100 full-time workers is more than double the rate for other Alaska industries and is 1.5 times the national average for food manufacturing. The most common cause of injuries in seafood processing are contact with objects, followed by overexertion.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Joe Vicnicki at KFSK in Petersburg, Elizabeth Jenkins with Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, and Lainey Welch with Alaska Fish Radio. As always, a big thank you to everyone who helps make this program possible each week, including our listeners and all the radio stations that air our show. If you miss your station's broadcast of one of our reports, you can go to our website to listen to it. That's kmxt.org. Be safe fishing, and remember, life jackets save lives. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.